Thank you, Robin. John DeKarzik, Oregon Department of Forestry, Chair Kelly, members of the board, Acting State Forester Hirsch. As noted, the workshop today provides an opportunity to further consider the climate change plan and carbon plan, the process of development and input that has driven the plan to date. Beyond background information, the conversation today will provide an opportunity to engage and further discern from all board, public, and department additional considerations to better inform the development of the final report and find alignment between board priorities and agency intersection relative to the roadmap this work will direct. As noted, I would love to take credit for this work, but that distinction goes to Danny Norlander, who has been the lead and chief architect of the work to date. I've merely been a facilitator to that end. And so with that in mind, I would like to turn it to Danny to provide an overview of the draft plan and the process that went into it.
Good afternoon, Chair Kelly, members of the board. We're going to do a couple of things this afternoon. One of them is provide you an overview of the plan at this point, and then followed on by overview of the public engagement process that we have gone through. So I'm going to share my screen so I have the PowerPoint up. All right, can everyone see the PowerPoint and not my notes on its slides? Okay, excellent. So, as I mentioned, today we're going to go do an overview of the plan. So an update from where we left off previously. There's been many, many conversations with board members, with the executive team, members of the public, members of stakeholders and partners along the way. So we're going to provide you an overview of where the climate change and carbon plan stands now, a little bit of the revision process, and then a separate PowerPoint that goes over the engagement process that we've had. For anyone that's interested in more information, documentation, et cetera, the plan and those materials are available on the website for this, which is under the forest benefits bucket on the climate change page specifically. Also in the forest benefits bucket is our forest carbon accounting framework. So that's also available there with the Forest Ecosystem Carbon Report, the Sawmill Energy Report, and the Harvest of Wood Products Report are all there at this time. I want to thank Chair Kelly for framing up how we see the plan today. A little bit of a history about how we got here. In March of 2020, so almost pushing 2 years now, Governor Brown signed Executive Order 2004. Executive Order 2004 tasked ODF and many other agencies put climate change and front and center in its planning and operations, among many other things that are not related specifically to ODF, but are much more broad and related to climate change and the actions that the state will take. So following on with that, we provided a report that was outlined in that. And once that was submitted, the governor's office requested that we start to develop a climate change plan, with the intent that that plan will put climate smart forestry front and center for the department and make Oregon forestry a leader in the region related to addressing climate change. So I do want to touch on a couple of things that are happening at a much more broad level. At the federal level, that with the shift in administration, there's been executive orders, including the Tackling the Climate Crisis at Home and Abroad, which emphasizes the role of agriculture and forestry in climate mitigation, and centers climate smart agriculture and forestry in the USDA's work. So this is not only forestry, but it is also ag work through NRCS, the Forest Service, and so on. Another thing that we are watching is the Growing Climate Solutions Act. This has made its way through the Senate, passed on a 92-8 vote, and it's currently sitting in the House. And this would provide the USDA the ability to work to develop and participate with states around carbon finance, both in agriculture and forestry. So those are things that are happening at the federal level at this time. currently the forest policy in Oregon is really laid out for the board through the Forestry Program for Oregon. This sets the mission, the values, the vision, as well as goals, objectives, and sustainable indicators. Something here real quick. So it guides policy by stating that the FPFO provides clear, quantifiable picture of what sustainable forest management of all of the state's public and private forests should look like. It also provides the basis for future policy work. So as Chair Kelly mentioned a little bit ago, the revision of the FPFO will be an important undertaking that's in the near future. So the intent of the Climate Change and Carbon Plan is really to provide the department with a roadmap about how to implement climate smart forestry. And as presented by the governor's office, the department's plan will position it as a regional leader in climate smart forestry, which we do define within the plan. The plan will build on the work that the department identified in its May of 2020 report, which really highlighted what the department can do within its statutory authority at this time. It puts in place expectations and accountability for the board and the department in implementing climate smart forestry and addressing climate change. We have a purpose, vision, and principles that have been lined out and worked on by the executive team and the board. The purpose is to make Oregon forestry a leader in climate change mitigation and adaptation, and that the department will be a leader in promoting climate smart forestry practices and actions that achieve our vision by operationalizing goals, implementing actions, and measuring progress to achieve climate goals. The vision is that Oregon's Board of Forestry and Department of Forestry are national leaders in climate smart and socially equitable forest practices that promote climate health, forest resilient forests and watersheds, community well-being, and a viable forest products industry. To support those, we have four different principles. The first being that climate change is a serious threat. There's less than a decade to alter behaviors if we want to avoid catastrophic impacts. We need to be innovative, creative, and proactive in working towards solutions and not simply react to the results of climate change. Second is that Black, Indigenous, and peoples of color, natural resource-dependent communities, and those growing up in intergenerational poverty have been and continue to be among the most climate-impacted communities. Now, our forest policies will be shaped through the lens of social justice and equity. Actions will prioritize benefits to historically and currently underserved communities as they adapt to climate change. Third is that Oregon's forest sector offers opportunities for significant sequestration and storage, both in the forest and in harvested wood products, as well as opportunities to promote clean water and air while preserving forest resilience in the form of flood control, biodiversity, thermal refugia, and so on. And then lastly, as changing climates affect forests, incorporation of the best available science and practices will be key to adaptive management and planning across ownership type, size, and goals. So why do we need a plan in the first place? Climate change is threatening Oregon's forests and forest products industry through increased severity and incidence of wildfire, drought, and a greater susceptibility to insects. We can add into that heat domes as we experienced this summer, as well as ice storms from last winter. Climate change is an existential problem that differentially affects vulnerable populations, including people of color and lower income Oregonians. Without substantial behavior changes and mitigation efforts to limit global warming to less than 1.5 degrees Celsius, by 2030, the region and the world is very likely to experience high levels of ecosystem degradation and species extinctions. In August, the IPCC released its physical science report as part of its assessment report number 6. It stated in there that it is unequivocal that human influence has warmed the atmosphere, ocean, and land. Widespread and rapid changes in the atmosphere, ocean, cryosphere, and biosphere have occurred. Further, it goes, evidence of observed changes in extremes such as heat waves, heavy precipitation, droughts, and tropical cyclones, and in particular, their attribution to human influence has strengthened since the previous assessment report in 2014. So we do have opportunities when it comes to climate change mitigation and adaptation in this state. So Oregon's forests have among the highest sequestration potential on the planet. Many studies have shown this, and it's pretty well regarded. Landowners and managers can capitalize on that increasing sequestration. Harvested wood products can store a substantial amount of carbon. The forest sector can work with other sectors to increase the utilization of harvested wood products in the built environment and decrease emissions through energy and transportation. So some studies have indicated that there's a substitution factor of about 1.2 when wood is used instead of other products. If you start wearing wood as clothing, that goes up to about 2.8 for textiles, which is an interesting concept. Integration of climate change into department planning processes will inform the work of the agency. So all of these put together, among others that we've identified in the report, constitute a range of opportunities that we have to work on adaptation and mitigation fronts in the forest sector. We also identified barriers that may limit the applicability of forestry in adaptation and mitigation efforts. The inclusion of barriers was identified through our public and stakeholder engagement process, and we discussed a little bit about how those can be addressed in the draft plan. So these include things like statutory authorities, public perceptions, staffing capacity and biological constraints within our forests, among many others that we have identified. What is climate smart forestry? So climate smart forestry is anchored in sustainable forest management and evolved from climate smart agriculture concepts of the early 2010s. Sustainable forest management here is important because that is the anchor for the forestry program for Oregon coming out of the Montreal process and its indicators and such. At its core, climate smart forestry has three main areas of forest adaptation, climate mitigation, and the social dimension of community and economy. So adaptation requires active measures and seeks to build resilience to the effects of climate change. This may include using different tree species or different tree genetics, changes to the structure of the forest stand and the landscape, and then using a mix of management approaches. Adaptation means that forest managers are looking at future climate rather than relying on historic norms and practices, and it requires bold steps to ensure that forests remain forests and do not shift to an alternative vegetation type due to climate-induced mortality events, increasing insect and disease pressure, and increasing destructive wildfire seasons. On the mitigation side of things, leaving trees in place until sequestration is maximized, followed by harvest, will likely produce the greatest mitigation benefits. Wood products can also continue carbon storage in lower embodied carbon wood products like mass timber, and displace high carbon cost materials like cement, steel, non-wood flooring, and fuels. However, more work supporting and advancing long-lived wood products development and utilization needs to be done to ensure that the harvested fiber is sequestered long-term. Reducing the emissions from the harvest and manufacturing of wood products will need to be addressed. And also additional methods and technologies will need to be explored to meet those mitigation needs. The social and economic dimension is important to the department and to the board. Utilization of state forests for harvest of traditional foods, recreation, tourism, and wood fiber all support a diverse set of communities. Climate smart forestry require careful coordination and communication to ensure that all voices are heard and incorporated. Natural resource dependent, disproportionately climate impacted, and traditionally underserved communities are important parts of Oregon's culture and economy and are at great risk from climate change impacts. Ensuring they are included in planning decision-making processes and are not left behind as the forest sector works to adjust and transition to a changing environment and landscape is key to us. The cultural significance of forests in Oregon and forest products and timber is highly important in the state. So we identified 8 forest climate action goals, and we'll quickly work through each of these. The first is climate smart forestry and silviculture. So this is to establish a just and equitable transition to climate-informed silviculture and climate-smart forestry that optimizes climate mitigation and adaptation while maintaining a sustainable flow of wood products to ensure long-term resource benefits and viability of the forest products industry and flow of long-lived forest products. The next one, it relates to fire, and this is kind of a bifurcated goal, part of it internal and part of it working largely with external partners and agencies. So fire management, response, and fire smoke adapted communities. Goal is to modernize Oregon's complete and coordinated wildfire protection system to respond to the increased severity of wildfire. And then this is the part that's working more with our external agencies and partners. So promote fire and smoke adapted communities in the wildland-urban interface to mitigate the impacts of climate-induced increases in wildfire severity. And some of that will circle back around to the conversation from this morning about the WUI rules. State forest management is to lead by example and demonstrate climate-smart forest management on state forests to achieve adaptation, mitigation, and the achievement of forest resource goals. Next one is forest lands, climate resilience, and ecological function restoration. Accelerate the pace, scale, and quality of forest restoration to increase the resilience, to increase wildfire severity and incidents, and support implementation of the recommendations of the Governor's Council on Wildfire Response. And there's a variety of tools that we can utilize there. Part of that is the Shared Stewardship Agreement, Good Neighbor Authority, and the resources and capacity that was provided to the department through SB 762 in the last legislative session. Urban and community forests increase the extent and resilience of urban and community forests to maximize the climate mitigation and health benefits of urban forest canopy. We had an excellent session on that last November, if anyone is interested in going back and looking at that. Reforestation and afforestation is facilitate and encourage the reforestation of areas burned by wildfire and afforestation of low productivity lands that are understocked or not in forest use. One area of concern here is that when we start to afforest agricultural lands, that can cause some food security concerns. So working with our sibling agencies will be an important part if afforestation it becomes an important part of this goal or this process. Next is maintaining and conserving forests. So this is supporting a strong but flexible land use planning system as a cornerstone to maintain Oregon's forests on private lands. Oregon's land use planning system is very robust and has been able to ensure that over 97% of forests existing in 1974 are still forests today. So it's been very effective so far. And then the keystone is research and monitoring. So maintain a research and monitoring program to track the status and trends of ecological, economic, and social indicators and the effects of climate change and to track progress related to this plan. If we're not monitoring and we're not doing up-to-date research, we won't really be able to know if we need to change our management, and that's part of the adaptive management process that we will strive to do. To support those goals, we have a variety of supporting actions. They're not linked one-to-one. There are multiple different actions that are linked to multiple goals and multiple goals that are linked to different actions. The supporting actions will be incorporated into agency planning, which includes documents and processes like the forest management plan, implementation plans, and annual operating plans, among others. Many of these other plans and processes lay out in short time segments, like a biennium, what the department's work will be, as opposed to this plan, which is set on a five-year rotation, or other plans like the HCP or the FMP, which are much longer. So examples include incorporating climate change and FPA rule development and revision, incentivizing climate-smart forestry, providing recognition of climate mitigation and adaptation measures, developing an internal carbon pricing process, restoration of low or underperforming forests like those impacted by Swiss needle cast, increase the resilience efforts, including prescribed fire program, afforestation and reforestation in municipal and communities, investigate further decarbonization of forest activities and harvests, encourage low carbon impact materials in Oregon, and tracking the agency carbon footprint and work to reduce that, among others that are included in the draft. So next steps are utilizing the conversation that we're having today to ensure alignment with the board and the department's direction in the plan, and then consideration of the comments that we receive. Then we'll go through final iteration of the drafting process and present the final draft to the board in November for approval. That's all I have for this presentation. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to take those now before we move into the engagement summary.
Brenda, you have a question?
Yeah, thanks, Jim. Brenda McComb for the record. Danny, that was great. And good job on this work that you've done. It's very comprehensive. One observation is that the reason we're in the mess we're in is we're burning fossil fuels. And I'm wondering if there's a way of incorporating greenhouse gas reductions in more of the report that you've written, so that we are minimizing greenhouse gas emissions through all aspects of forest management, while at the same time doing all the great things that you described regarding sequestration and storage. You do address it in the carbon footprint at the very last, at the very end of your presentation, but I think it could be woven in throughout the plan. But that's my only comment. Thank you.
Thank you.
It looks like you should go ahead to the next section, Danny.
All right. Let me get that one pulled up here real quick.
Actually, Danny, this is Jason Cox in Salem. We're having some issues with the sizing of the presentation slide. So if you don't mind, we'll run that from here. So just stand by. Thank you.